Hello friends, we are continuing now with our video commentaries. We're a treatise on white magic, rules for the astral plane. We are beginning on page 363, looks like. I don't know where we left off before, maybe 350. Yeah, we left off at that point. And this is commentary number 39 and commentary number 23 when it comes to that mammoth rule 10. Just a little overlap here. Remember always that in the vivification of a center, there is always a corresponding vitalization of the analogous head center, the seven of them, I think, ruled by Vulcan, just the way the in the one about whom naught may be said, the Tibetan tells us that the seven major stars of the Great Bear are the rulers of the seven head centers for that being. Till eventually the seven centers in the body and the seven centers in the head rotate in unison. And one of the rules, I think, tells us about that. I think it's one of the rules for, of the 14 rules for disciples. Okay, they rotate in unison. And I showed you, I think, page 170 in a treatise on cosmic fire, where these seven head centers are mentioned as an important focus for the advancing man, the man of the third initiation and beyond. Remember also that just as the four minor rays pass into the three major rays. So the four minor centers carry the carry on the correspondence and pass into pralaya, finding their focal points in the throat center. Now, are we including the heart center as a minor center? That is an interesting thought. Or are we including, let us say, the spleen as a minor center, along with the solar plexus, sacral center, and base of the spine center. Thus, you have the three centers, the head, heart, and throat, which have, which are the foci of the three major types of monad, first, second, and third ray, carrying the inner fire with the three major head centers vibrating in unison also. Okay, so the three major head centers, are these one of the seven, or are we considering the entire center at the top of the head, the crown chakra, the Ajna center, and the Alta major center? Anyway, I think the seven above and the seven below, I think maybe I can maybe I can find that quickly, possibly. Yes, and here it is. It is Rule 8 for applicants. When the disciple nears the portal, the greater seven must awaken and bring forth response from the lesser seven upon the double circle. And here we have, in fact, the symbolism for seven lesser centers and seven greater centers in the head. And probably in an Ajna series of centers, which are sometimes discussed in Hindu books, we might have the completion of 21, taking the entire group together, and we have the 22nd. Okay. Anyway, these are some of the intricacies of the anatomy and physiology, the subtle etheric anatomy and physiology. Right. So it's interesting, you know, that if when we're looking at the head, heart, and throat here, and we consider three major centers, that the head center would not be considered a major center, but something above it. Okay. But let's, let that pass for the moment until we can confirm exactly what centers are being discussed. The Ajna series of centers is very interesting and includes centers related to the Buddhic, I think, anatomic plane and monastic plane that we may never have heard of in anything, perhaps, but hints from Master DK. I realize, says the Tibetan, that this is all intricate and technical. Well, certainly it is for us at this time. It has its place and value, however, and much that is here communicated will find its usefulness when you are all passed over to the other side and a fresh band of aspirants will follow in your footsteps. Okay, and maybe, some of us are part of that fresh band, and now we're getting ready to pass over, and a new band of aspirants will appear, and they will benefit from the beginning of the third installment of the Tibetan. There's so much information that has to be correlated. And that's one little thing that I'm making a small attempt to do here, the correlation of quite a number of factors as possible, but it's just a small percentage of what might be correlated. The training of the mental body has a value, and many evade such technicalities, hiding behind an emphasis upon the life side of truth, all due to an inherent mental laziness. Whoa. Okay, friends, well, it's been said, and how much into depth do we want to go? That is an important question. So here, really, we have the value of the fifth ray. Sometimes I've noticed that the third ray may be better at memorization per se, but the fifth ray, with its law of fixation, is very clear about the structure of what has to be memorized. And when you put the third and the fifth ray together, you get a strong ability to memorize with accuracy. So let's just say we, why does it always do that, huh? We need the fifth ray, and especially when accompanied by the third ray. So, many are the excuses. I don't need all these details. I've heard disciples who fancy that they are particularly disciples of Master KH, and they say, well, look, I don't need all that technicality that you find in the presentation of Master DK. However, let's remember that Master DK is in Master KH's ashram and is presenting these matters, certainly with the permission and encouragement of KH and others of still higher rank. So I'll read it again, The training of the mental body has its value, and many evade such technicalities, hiding behind an emphasis upon the life side of truth, which is the propensity of the pure mystic, all due to an inherent mental laziness. Well, I suppose laziness can appear in the various vehicles, and sometimes people who are not mentally lazy might be physically lazy, and so we might go through what is desired is an activation of all the vehicles in a balanced and proportional manner. This that you now receive is but the ABC of Esotericism. Okay, and of course, lots of those ABCs were found in a treatise on cosmic fire as well. Waste not time, however, in too detailed deduction. All that is now possible, you know, in other words, let's just say Master DK is always trying to preserve the balance. All that is now possible is a broad, general outline, patient reserve, a willingness to recognize physical brain limitations, and I suppose even etheric brain limitations, and the accepting of an hypothesis. I guess we human beings want our instant gratification and think that anything that can be known should be known now, regardless of the time factor. But the masters are very aware of the limitations imposed by the time factor. Believe these hypotheses possible, unless your intuition revolts, or they are contradicted by past teaching given by other of the lodge's masters. Well, okay, they may contradict certain other teachings given by those or by sources that many assume to be the masters, but the masters of the true masters of the lodge will not, in fact, contradict each other. Excuse me. I do not dogmatize to you, in giving you statements which absolutely must be followed and which contain, according to the source, the entirety of the truth. You know, in the church, this is happening all the time. The limitations imposed are considered to be the great entirety of what it is possible to know about the subject that the imposition represents. I only in these instructions, excuse me, I only in these instructions give you certain information, the correctness of which I leave to the future to demonstrate. I think I'm in the midst of a battle with a very good friend who's extremely brilliant, but he's brilliant along a third ray and fifth ray line, and it's so interesting to see the rejection of this information and the reasons based in the Western concrete mind for this rejection, the opposition to it. I simply ask that you make record, and in the coming years, much that may now seem peculiar or mayhap even contradictory will be elucidated, slowly unraveled, and more easily comprehended. Oh, so what do we really understand? The true occultist is patient. And that's difficult to master, this patience. It's one of the last things that the master is able to achieve, preventing him from indulging in irritation which could hurt his students or those who are in contact with him or that he tries to contact. A little knowledge leads to much confusion unless laid aside for future use when the years of instruction have increased the store. And we might say, and what is all this intricate knowledge but a little knowledge? It is. It's just a little bit. And as amazing as it may seem to us, okay, it's just the tiniest portion of what we might call the ageless wisdom as applied to this earth manifestation and the solar system. And I suppose if it's ageless, antedating any possible cyclic universe. Okay. So we have to have the correct attitude towards that which is presented. And the way the mind is cultivated in the world, that correct attitude is not easy to achieve if one relies solely on Western concrete-minded impartation. But we begin to develop different aspects of mind as we study spiritual occultism with the Tibetan, and we understand from the map of the, well, let me see, I guess I should definitely get out the map, shouldn't I? So this is the, these are maps by, recent maps by Tuya, and very good ones, and quite elaborate, seeking to add certain things which are either confirmed or suggested. And I have one more possibility here. Well, maybe I'll have to look here. The D-disc, and these will be the AAB diagrams. And I usually start with Parabrahm. Great place to start, right? Well, it's not really Parabrahm. It can't really be Parabrahm, but it can be in that direction. I mean, I don't think that these maps that were being given are super galactic. I'm not sure, but I don't think so. Especially the way they're laid out, they seem to have a limited scope, however vast they may seem to us. Well, anyway, now we return to the theme. To return to our theme, the heart center in man opens the door to what is called the heart of the sun. Now, I think I've dealt with that issue. What really is that? There are different estimations on the nature of the heart of the sun. The causal body of the solar logos is one. A demonstration of a subjective sun on the cosmic astral plane, and perhaps an etheric demonstration of heart energy, let's see, solar logoic heart energy on the cosmic physical plane, on the monadic level. Yeah, maybe that. Those are the only ones I can think of at the moment. The throat center opens the way into full understanding of the path of the physical sun. I wonder what he means by path. The developmental path of the physical sun. Well, after all, the throat center is associated with physicality, and the physical sun is that brilliant etheric source, I guess we might call it. You know, plasmic, gaseous, etheric source. It's not physical in the way we think of physical in relation to the dense physical planets. The throat center opens the way into full understanding of the path of the physical sun, and all true astrologers must eventually have that center functioning. Why? Because astrology develops Okay, well, that's sorry for the delay. DVPS, DVS, maybe DVPS. Okay, develops. And all true astrology develops along the third ray line initially. So all true astrologers are that. And we have the head center opening the way to the central spiritual sun, each passing via the planetary correspondence to one of the cosmic planes. Now, the planetary correspondence in this case is the monadic nature of the planetary logos. The central spiritual sun is the monadic, let's see, how can we do this? Monadic nature of the solar logos. Okay. Let's hope that this is, and here we are. Vehicle and MD, monadic nature of the solar logos. So, and I suppose the physical sun must be related to the personality of the solar logos, but really the 18 lower cosmic subplanes are the domain of the solar logoic agni and are the expression of the solar logoic personality. So let's look at that again because it helps us trace the lower centers to the higher. What follows here, is the tracing of the lower centers to the higher. The heart center in man opens the door to what is called the heart of the sun. Now, first, what is sometimes called the heart center of the monad must be involved, and this is the egoic lotus. But gradually one ascends even via the heart center of the planet and the monadic nature of the planet and so forth, to a place that represents the heart of our solar logos. The throat center, our throat center, opens the way into full understanding of the path of the physical sun. And, ascending, or let's just see, a way of becoming familiar, that path is a way of becoming familiar with the lower aspects of the solar logos. Okay, let's get that correct. And all true astrologers must eventually have that center functioning, as I said, because of the particularly third ray nature of astrology. But of course, Master DK is mixing so much of the soul aspect into the astrology. He presents the astrology of the soul. Try to shift a little here so that the image is not so much in the dark. And the head center opens the way to the central spiritual sun, each passing via the planetary correspondence to one of the cosmic planes. What cosmic planes are involved here? It seems to suggest, let's just say, all this seems to suggest that these aspects of the solar logos are really on cosmic planes. The path of the physical sun is the path of the the personality of the solar logos. The lower 18 subplanes, lower 18 cosmic subplanes. The path to the heart of the sun takes us to the first cosmic subplane on the cosmic mental plane. The path from our head center eventually to the central spiritual sun takes us to the cosmic okay, let's do it this way then. Cosmic monadic plane. Okay. Cosmic monadic plane. And about such things, I mean, what can we say? Only we can look at the correspondences and say, well, yeah, that looks right. But when we can't even really discuss what's going on the monadic plane on which what we call our monad is found, how can we talk about these cosmic planes? But at least we can fill out the structure of relationships. Thus, we have a summation of technicalities and of facts which are under the law of analogy of purely academic interest and no more. Well, I'm saying there, whether it's because I read it or not, I'm saying the same thing. It is academically interesting, meaning the mind can deal with it, embrace it somewhat, but it is not experientially relevant. Now, our soul is experientially relevant, or at least soul consciousness on the high mental plane is experientially relevant, and even the energy of the spiritual triad and eventually monad are all sooner or later in our developmental cycle as a human being here and now experientially relevant. But once we start getting, you know, beyond the one almost has to go beyond the human phase. They are no longer men as are the masters. You know, the master is five-pointed. The Chohan is a six-pointed star and is no longer considered a man, although still a member of the fourth creative hierarchy or the ninth, depending on how you number them. And what's going on the logoic plane is not to us at this time experientially relevant, though academically interesting. Even those of us who are initiate know practically nothing of the cosmic planes beyond the cosmic physical. And DK, in all humility, said, look, what's going on the astral plane? I paraphrase, of course. I don't know because I haven't been there. So I think, you know, an initiate of the seventh degree begins to really receive from the cosmic astral plane, and maybe even then at the seventh degree, or maybe more likely at the eighth degree, you know how it goes up, down, the figure eight. Maybe you can go there and return, go and return. But of the ninth degree, one goes and does not, in this solar systemic cycle, I think at least, return, or at least not for a very long time unless those human beings leaving in that way, or members of the fourth grade of hierarchy leaving in that way, would come back still in this solar system to be solar angels to the developing animal kingdom, or a future kingdom that is moving through the animal and becoming human, and so forth. So we don't know whether those of us who are on the fourth path to Sirius, whether our return is during this solar system, or could be. I mean, that's a lot of years if there's still 150 trillion left, but not 150 trillion outer years would remain. I imagine that the whole subjective cycle of a solar system corresponds to that 311 trillion 40 billion years, but that the shortest phase of that cycle, shortest in duration, is the dense physical cycle. So we certainly don't have, I think, 150 trillion years remaining in the dense physical cycle that remains to the manifestation of our solar system. Our consciousness is only beginning to be solar. Now, who's ours? Is that are we speaking? Are we speaking here of the masters? And we are laboring in our small measure to overcome those planetary limitations which hold us back from solar knowledge and life. It looks like it. It seems like these are the masters speaking. You know, yes, I think so. It seems that those who are speaking are the initiates of the type of Master DK. Masters. For aspirants who have not even a knowledge of what planetary consciousness signifies, you know, even globe consciousness or chain consciousness, the above information has only value, one value, and that is that it emphasizes the synthetic nature of the great plan and the fact that the smallest unit is an integral part of the whole. So this is why we're reading it, and what can that sense of synthesis bring to us? We might say, you know, it's not a valid number, thank you. So, what? All right, let's do this. This synthetic sorry. This synthetic point of view can help overcome the great heresy of separateness, which is the one true fallacy of thought, the one true heresy, the one true deviation from the truth, the great heresy of separateness. It enforces the idea that life is, that energy is a life fluid circulating throughout the entire body of the Logos and vivifying, therefore, even the tiniest atom in that whole. So let's just say that what we have here in these kinds of speculations is a very good definition of energy. Let's just see. A very good definition of energy follows here. Energy is a life fluid. It is in constant motion, fluidic motion. It is not stationary or bound the way we think of more solid arrangements, circulating throughout the entire body of the Logos and vivifying, therefore, even the tiniest atom in that whole. And, of course, this has to apply to much greater contexts, including cosmic logoi and supercosmic logoi and on and on. Energy is all that and is the great means of vivification. So let's just kind of put that in there to remind ourselves. Energy is the great means of vivification. It is valuable to endeavor to grasp the picture and to vision the wonder of what is transpiring. If we have the awe, you know, having the awe helps us treat all creations with respect, because after all, they are externalizations, finally, of the one infinite being. It is a waste of time, however, nevertheless, to ponder upon the cosmic astral plane, for instance, overly much, when even the plane of the ego, the fifth subplane of the cosmic physical plane, counting from above downwards, is as yet inaccessible to the average man and is the goal for all his aspiration and meditation. Well, we put things in proportion here, don't we? So, this tells us that it is not a waste of time to ponder on the ego. But other than noting some of the principal analogies, okay, so here we go. You know, this is going to want us to, tells me how full my disc is, how full your disc is, you know. So if I can, I will see whether I've managed to save anything. 17, 18, yes, it looks like I have saved something at least. Okay. This tells us, yes, that to wonder about the nature of what we normally call the soul is not a waste of time, but I would say that to wonder about the intricacies of the cosmic astral plane or planes beyond, even though in the charts he shows us a few things, is a waste of time. Now look at this chart that Master DK has given to us. Basically, 2 years' rendition here is just for the sake of clarification and the enhancement of the qualities involved. We've got these little 49 little triangles. What are they? They deal with the cosmic monadic plane. What is a cosmic parabrahman? And the seven reaches of the Great Bear coming forth from this triangle. And I would say they might even be the triangle, except for the fact that the soul of Logos also comes forth from this triangle, meaning that it contains far more, and meaning that it is more than the seven rishis. Okay, you can use these charts, and you can generalize from them, and you can learn some important relations, I think, but let's not go too far with them in our pursuit of intricacy, because even if we found ourselves being accurate about them, we wouldn't be able to use the information in any practical way except to somehow enhance our sense of the grandeur, the magnificence, and the non-separateness of the whole. That would be the great advantage. And if we can think and see that all things are truly unified and interrelated, we have gone a long way toward overcoming one of the major obstacles to spiritual living in our environment. That sense of separateness is an astonishing enemy and prevents us from expressing the very essence of spirituality, which is a divine connectedness. Okay. So for man, therefore, the universal mind can best be grasped as it expresses itself through what we call the concrete mind, the abstract mind, and the intuition or pure reason. Now, it's also my opinion that there is an atmic mind. Since the atmic plane is the third from above, the symbol of which is the triangle, which also and in a higher way expresses the universal mind, but this is this expression is more for the masters to apprehend and not us. I mean, it may be the home of spiritual will, but it is the master of the wisdom of the fifth initiation that is able to understand something of the kind of mentality which is operating on the atmic plane. You know, you're going to find there in this chart, which Keith Bailey assembled. You'll find beatitude, active service, realization, perfection, all knowledge. All of these things require a kind of mind which is very high compared to the mind that we have access to, the concrete mind, the abstract mind, and the intuitive transcendental mind. Okay, we have some access to these, but on the atmic plane is something much higher mentally. And how can we begin to even understand what that might be? Well, I would just say, let us seek to build the Antikarana steadily, usefully. Let us seek to apply it. Let us find, you know, the right type of meditative approach to begin to receive impressions which have not been normal or customary for us at all. And then maybe as we begin to do the will of God, we shall know. Now, that certainly applies to the realm of spiritual will, Atma, though, because the will of God, as relates to the plan, as formulated by the custodians of the plan, is emanating from the atmic plane, at least within the worlds of Brahma. Now, you know, it emanates from above, of course, but for practical purposes, we're still very much living in the Brahmic worlds, and so is the master. So if we do the will of God as it comes through to us, in terms of the presentation of the divine plan, we shall begin to know, and on that plane, the atmic plane, on the third sublevel, is this power or city, which we call all knowledge. So certainly the mentality associated with the atmic plane is evident, or that mentality is associated with the atmic plane is evident, and that it is an expression, a lower expression of the universal mind is evident, but what the details are, we'll have to wait to discover. The concrete mind is the form building faculty. Thoughts are things, you know, it's the old what can we say, the old theosophical dictum, thoughts are things. Yeah, and then what is a thing? That's, it kind of assumes we know what a thing is, but okay, thoughts are things. The abstract mind is the pattern building faculty. You know, we might call it, in the old terminology, blueprint making, or the mind which works, this is the disadvantage from having read too carefully for too long. You know, you're always anticipating what you read before. My eyes, at least consciously, did not fall on that word blueprint, but that's how it goes. The abstract mind is the pattern building faculty, or the mind which works with the blueprints upon which the forms are modeled. My uncle was an air conditioning engineer and always carrying blueprints with him for the various jobs that he did. And so I became familiar at least with the existence of blueprints, if not the details that were on them. That, of course, was in pre-computer days and so forth. The intuition or pure reason is the faculty which enables man to enter into contact with the universal mind and grasp the plan synthetically, to seize upon divine ideas, or to isolate some fundamental or pure truth. This is a wonderful definition of one of the capacities of the intuition. So here we find, let's call it further. No, I'm always doing that. Okay, we find further descriptions of the three minds which must unite in the, let's call it triadally, in the triadally oriented student. Okay. So, repeating, the concrete mind is the form building faculty, and the forms built are dense compared to the patterns which the abstract mind presents. You know, blueprints don't have the details, but they do have the relationships. Okay, we'll just say the blueprints hold in abstract form the relationships. And then comes the intuition. Now, when it comes to the three minds that are uniting, you know, we have different points of view here. We can say concrete mind, son of mind, abstract mind, or we can say, as he says here, concrete mind, abstract mind, intuition, or we might even, you know, find a way to include something that leads up to the atmic mind. In any case, we often find the areas of our mind functionally separated from each other, so that we cannot come and go with ease from one to another. You know, I mean, here we are trying to bridge this gap that's even getting us into the abstract mind, and let alone the intuition, and all this through the Antikarana. It's not a pure, seamless relationship between these different levels of mind, the way eventually it has to become. So finally, you know, the universal mind, if the solar system is a universe, as it sometimes was considered to be, we're not by any means talking about the vast entirety we call the universe. If that is the case, then universal mind is the concrete mind and abstract mind, higher mind, abstract mind, cosmically transcendental mind and cosmically atomic mind of the soul of logos. Those are just words, you know, they cannot really mean anything to us when having a real intuition for people of our type is a rarity, and that's right down on the cosmic physical plane, let alone on these higher cosmic planes. The goal of all work of an aspirant, all the work of an aspirant, is to understand these aspects of mind with which he has to work. His work, therefore, might be summed up as follows. Okay, so let's just say an aspirant still with much of directed astral fire must understand the mind. But it all depends on what DK calls an aspirant. He says every true aspirant has taken the first initiation. So sometimes these things do overlap, you know. They do overlap. So what must an aspirant do? So I begin to think my problem here with this document is it's just so darn big. It's just got hundreds of pages that when you start to save it, it's a difficulty. So I'm thinking maybe about splitting it in half. But then again, you might, if you want to access something, you might be out of luck. Okay, so what must an aspirant do? Let's consider ourselves all aspirants. He has to learn to think. Discover that thou hast a mind and learn its dual use. Treatise on White Magic. Let's look at it here, you know. Treatise on White, I think it's page 474. Okay. And I don't know why this keeps on disappearing. But okay, view, zoom, 150, let's say 150 is good. Treatise on White Magic, and let's just say page 474, and we're probably going to find the 15 councils there. Well, it's always good to go to this list of the 15 councils, but number 6, discover that thou hast a mind, is number 4, and learn its dual use. Number 5, concentrate the thinking principle and be master of thy mental world. It sounds like a very Leo thing to do. Learn that the thinker and his thought and that which is the means of thought are diverse in their nature, yet one in their ultimate reality. Sounds like one of the fruits of contemplation under Libra. Anyway, we can assign some of these things to different astrological correlates. But anyway, go to page 473. For the 15 counsels which rightly pursued will make of a man an adept. So, this aspirant, what has he to do? Learn to think. So that he has an apparatus, which is called the mind, and to uncover its faculties and powers, latent at first and unknown at first. These have been well analyzed for us in the first two books of the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, a great sage who lived, according to the Tibetan, somewhere, some reference, maybe 10,000 years ago. He has to learn to get back of his thought processes and form, thought processes and form building propensities, and discover the ideas which underlie the divine thought form, the world process, and so learn to work in collaboration with the plan and subordinate his own thought form building to these ideas. Well, you know, this requires, I think, not only the abstract mind, but also the intuition. And when we're talking about ideas, we seem to have entered the intuitive realm. And when we're talking about comprehensive, lucid, abstract renderings of those ideas, then we can talk about the abstract mind. He has to learn to penetrate into the world of these divine ideas, Now, if they're divine, they're coming from the level of the monad or beyond, and to study the pattern of things in the heavens, as it is called in the Bible, and astrology will help, if esoteric. He must begin to work with the blueprints upon which all that is modeled and molded. So this is definite work. Definite work with the abstract mind. He becomes then a student symbolist, and from being an idolater, you know, it's the idea, the ideal and the idol in descending form. And from being an idolater, one who just is worshiping the outer form without knowing its symbolic associations with higher things, he becomes a divine idealist. Isn't that a wonderful thought? From being an idolater trapped in the understanding of the limited understanding of an outer form, he becomes a divine idealist. So ascending, it would be the idol, the ideal, and finally the idea. I use these words in their true connotation. And then from that developed idealism, he must progress. Obviously, you know, this is an aspirant, but it's a pretty high aspirant already, isn't it? We would call such a person a disciple or even an initiate once we are reaching this stage. From that developed idealism, he must progress even deeper still until he enters the realm of pure intuition. Okay, so apparently this last paragraph number two is a lot about the abstract mind. I'm just going to say that this paragraph is mostly about the abstract mind, but the functioning but the functioning of the intuition is also suggested. Getting back to the thought process and form building propensities and discover the ideas. Well, we can discover the abstract formulations of ideas in the abstract mind, but the true formless being that an idea is, I think we have to wait until we enter the cosmic vital body of the planetary and solar logos, namely the four higher cosmic subplanes, you know, Buddhic and higher. Discover the ideas which underlie the divine thought form and world process, and so learn to work in collaboration with the plan and subordinate his own thought form building to these ideas. A lot of mention of ideas, and let's just say the pure idea is at least intuitive. Okay, and from that developed idealism, he progresses even deeper. He can then tap truth at its source. This is at least a Buddhic tapping. He enters into the mind of God itself, himself. This is the transcendental mind. And it's almost as if, the mind of God does not begin until the Buddhic plane. He intuits as well as idealizes. The sixth ray of idealism is very much related to the third ray, which rules the abstract mind. So idealization is occurring on the abstract mental levels. Idealization is occurring on the abstract mental levels and is sensitive to divine thoughts, which are, so divine thoughts are really ideas. So here, you know, at various points, he kind of goes into the distinction between the idol, the ideal, and the true idea. And this is one of those very good sections where this is taken up. They fertilize his mind, and he calls these intuitions later. He calls these intuitions later as he works them out, ideas or ideals, and bases all his work and conduct of affairs upon him. So in the triad, the man becomes receptive to the ideals, idealism of abstract mind and the ideas of the intuition, which are divine thoughts. I suppose until we have some experience with these things, we don't really know what we're talking about. So let's get in there and experience. Then follows the work of conscious thought form building based upon these divine ideas emanating as intuitions from the universal mind. And this goes forward through meditation. Okay, so basically we have reached the point where we're going to stop here for a moment. And, I'm just going to let that go. Then follows the work of conscious thought form building. Okay. So we are on page 366. And we began on page 363. So let's do our usual transfer as we do to try to keep the matter straight rather than going back and forth all the time. So anyway, here we are. And we're finishing up with number 39. And we went from 363 to 366. And today is the 2nd of September. We can get rid of that one. And this has been number 23. And we're going to begin with the rule 10, number 24. And it's going to be the 40th of our programs on rules for magic on the astral plane. Whoa, I'll tell you, we really have some amazing things here, and hopefully we will be able to really understand them increasingly. And I'm going to put a 3 in there, you know, do my best. Okay. All right, friends, now we go on. I have, you know, a very adhesive mind, and it tends attached, you might say. It tends not to let go of an unsolved problem. But let's just say, we'll put it this way. We'll put it this way. Nope, that's not it. We won't put it that way. In all of the above, we have discussed the progress from the apprehension of the idol to the abstract mental ideal to the true idea from the intuitive realm, which is an aspect of the universal mind. Not the highest aspect, but can access divine thoughts, whereas the thoughts formulated on the blueprint-making abstract mind are human. Are human thoughts. Okay, I'm a little bit over the limit here, and that limit for this program is 1 hour, but we'll see you soon for number 40. That's the intention. And study hard. Bye-bye.